Lord.
I'm going to preach a very short message today. It's going to have basically one point. And it's going to last 4 hours, but it's just one point. And I know it's so wrong. And notice those that are laughing. That's a scared laugh. Can you hear that? Like, amen. Please let it not be. Please let it not be. No. And that's the joy of having another service. We just have to, you know, quit before that. And as we turn to a section in 2 Samuel chapter 5, I want to tell you why I am preaching a message called Habits for Breakthrough. Habits for Breakthrough. You know, as a disciple who's following after the Lord, part of the testimony of a disciplined follower of Jesus is a track record of breakthrough. My life is not perfect. Any disciple in this room can say, my life is far from perfect. Far from pain-free or problem, you know, free. It's far from that. But I can tell you, every single follower of Christ overcomes. Every single follower of Christ knows the God of breakthrough. And this is something that I feel we have to remind ourselves often in this world. You are on the winning team. This is so important because maybe you can identify with me. There are days where you can get overwhelmed in the midst of a battle, whatever it is that you're facing. And sometimes if you're listening to the Holy Spirit in prayer or in some moment, He'll whisper kind of like a cheating look into the future a little bit. Hey, prepare because you're about to go into a storm. He doesn't say that to scare us. He says that to say, take your relationship with me serious. Draw near to me. You will weather this storm, but you must draw near to me and know me in a new way. Because if without the resistance, without the battle, without the tension, we would have a very small understanding of who God is. He would be the God of ease, the God of comfort, the God of everything's always okay. But we have a God that is appropriate for every single phase and moment in our life. The God for little kids, the God for old folks, and the God for those who are rich, and the God for those who are poor, those who are in every station of life. When you find the God who answers every single need by His power and His authority, you find a peace, a rock, that it holds you through every storm in life, through every high time in life or low time. And this is what a disciple experiences. But in my assessment, this message, the God of the breakthrough, and specifically habits that lead to breakthrough, are important because I am so sick and tired of seeing defeated disciples. And it feels empty when you go, hey, how is God? And you almost feel like they're faking it. Well, He is good, praise the Lord. And I'm like, I don't really believe it. No, He really is. I'm like, I think you don't believe it. No, I believe it. Can you tell your face? Because your face is lying. Your mouth is saying, I believe it. God is awesome. But your face is saying, help! You know, and it's crazy. But I have seen the truth of it in people's lives. Those who've lost everything financially, but they're smiling and they're not faking it. And I have seen, I'm thinking of someone very specific. Everything in the natural is good, except for they didn't get the right granite countertop they ordered. For that reason, and that reason alone, the God of the breakthrough just broke, fell apart. They don't know that God. Life is miserable. And I'm thinking, wow, that's all it took, and now you're defeated? Wow. I was telling Michelle even before this, I was like, Michelle, everything she's been through in the last year, do you know she could be in the middle if you rewound it to when she didn't have the reality of a miracle yet. All she had was a a prognosis from a doctor, a pending surgery, a potential for going blind and dying. And he talked to her, and she did not sound defeated. Right. And I'm like, can you tell the granite lady that didn't get a granite that it's okay, it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? And this is the sad reality, because if you do not know the God of the breakthrough, then really you are walking in a subpar mindset, like you are defeated all the time. And then it doesn't take a big enemy to come by and knock you down. You're already knocked down on the inside. But if you are strong and overcoming on the inside, it's amazing what you will resist. It really is. And so there are habits that I want to highlight in Scripture. And I'm going to go to somebody who is far from perfect, yet he got a name that says he was a man after God's own heart. This guy was an adulterer, a murderer. I'm not going to make the list. Basically, he's a bad guy. And yet God called him a man after his own heart. This is nuts. He got out of fighting an enemy one time by drooling on himself and acting crazy. You know, and I'm like, he's a hypocrite in a lot of ways. Yet he was a lion killer, a bear killer, a giant killer, an army leader. He's a worshiper, and he was a man after God's own heart. But in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we read some very beautiful things. Now, I should probably turn there too. Man, look at this. How many like the Old Testament and all the crazy stories that are in there? Amen. How many are scared to death when you read some of them, especially right before bedtime? She put a tent peg through the guy's head. What? Night, kids. Sleep good. The prophet sent she bears out and they devoured the kids. Yep. Sleep tight. We live in the North Woods where there's lots of bears. You know, there's so many juicy stories in the Bible. If you think it's boring, you haven't opened it in a while. You need to read it. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we're reading an account where David, let's start in verse 17. And we're going to pick it up from when David is kind of confirmed officially as the new king of Israel. In verse 17, it says, "Now when the Philistines," if you don't know who the Philistines are, they're bad people. They hate God's people. And so now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all of the Philistines went up to search for David. Just feed me again the truth here. Did it say all? Man, so that meant all of the Philistines on Facebook, like at one time, unfriended him? Oh my gosh, that was a bad day. No, all of the Philistines at one time went up to find a guy to what? Hug him. To hug him, right? To hug him. To kill him. And David heard of this and he wet himself. No, that's a paraphrase version. David heard of this. What does it say? Anybody read this? What does it say? He went down to the stronghold. Yes, he went down to the stronghold. Some people say this is the same stronghold like the cave of Adullam, where all of the distressed, discontented people came and hid with him when he was running from persecution from Saul and all this stuff. But I don't know if I really believe that, but that's up for another discussion. Regardless, he went down to a place of safety, and it symbolizes something beautiful. When everybody was out to kill him, he went to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and they deployed themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. Can you say that word inquire? Shout it back at me. Inquire. Inquire. That's probably, you know, Hebrew for pray, ask, something like that. Anybody following me? Pray, ask. How many ever pray? How many pray when everybody's out to kill you? Come on, nobody's out to kill you here. Come on. And You know, but, you know, that's when we pray, when everything's bad. So that's what he's doing. He's praying and crying of the Lord. And he goes, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? He did not have all of his army right now. He only had the mighty men that were left with him. Everybody else that he'd been on a campaign with, they had all gone home now because they had pretty much completed everything they needed to complete. During this phase, he's down in numbers. He's only got hundreds, not thousands. And yet an entire nation is coming against him. So he prays, and the Lord says to David, yep, go on up there, and I will for sure, doubtless, I am going to do this. The Philistines are going to be delivered into your hand. This is awesome. So David goes up to a place, which we're going to talk about the name here in a couple seconds, and he defeats the Philistines right there at that place. And he says, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. So he called that place Lord of the Breakthrough. That's the translation. Master of the breach, Lord of the breakthrough. Now, some of you might have seen Lord of the Rings. And there is this moment in the trilogy of those movies where Gandalf the White, this, you know, wonderful wizard, rescues all of these weary warriors, and at dawn he breaks over this little crest of a mountain, and he's got all of this army with him, and the sun is shining, and as he is riding on his horses with all of the people to rescue them as they're, you know, holding out in the stronghold. And I sat here reading this and I'm going, this is quite similar to the literal situation that happened at this point in the story. The Philistines were down low and they were encamping around, and he came over a ridge. Geography would say he came from up, and it was like a waterfall of, say, 300 at least mighty men. These are crazy mighty men. So just imagine warriors. All the normal folks just left. Now it's just these crazy mighty warriors. And they break over the crest of this, roaring down at dawn, and they're just mowing through the Philistines. And at that moment, he says, yeah, I serve the God of the breakthrough. Now, I like this because after this battle, we go on, it says in verse 28. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, my Bible just, the wind blew it. Sorry, not 28. 22. In verse 22, it says, and then the Philistines came back again. They come back again for a second whooping. And so they deploy themselves. They spread out all across the valley of Rephaim. And David inquires again. Say inquire again. Come on. Wait. Now, some of you know this. If you figured it out the first time, do you really need to come back and ask again? Yes. Why? Because we don't believe in formulas for breakthrough. We don't believe in formulas for breakthrough. It's a relationship. It is living and active. So you can't just learn a prayer, memorize it, and expect it to work like a tichuba, wah, you know, or la 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 la. No, it is not magic. This is a relationship. Which is why one of my favorite stories, if it's about relationship, you will see breakthrough with weird things. And one of my favorite stories is on the West Coast, there was this revival during the Jesus People movement. And people are saying, we're having a Jesus People movement right now. I could say, yes, I think we're starting to, but mostly it's a revival of already once saved people. I want to see people who have never come to know the Lord go join the worship teams in cities all across the nation. That's a revival. What we're seeing is this refreshing of church people. This is great, and it has to happen. But there, in the late 60s, there was this guy, Lonnie Frisbee, and he stood up, and he had this word from the Lord, and it was, you know, hey, this is right when Star Wars was releasing a movie. And he says, guys, Jesus is like Luke Skywalker, and the devil is like Darth Vader. Turn to Jesus, and hundreds get saved. And they do a mass baptism of thousands of people. And I'm like, where is Luke Skywalker in the Bible? And where is Satan like Darth Vader? And why in the world did people believe in what this goofball Lonnie and anyone with the last name Frisbee? It's like, why would they ever believe him? I'll tell you, when there is the God of the breakthrough inside a clay vessel like you and me, you could say, hubba bubba, I like bubblegum, and someone will meet Jesus, not your bubblegum. Someone will meet Jesus, not your new movie reference. So it really doesn't matter how cool or smart or religious you are. Just take a deep breath. Hey, that's good. But it matters like crazy if you know the God of breakthrough. Because if you know the God of breakthrough, you will see what David saw. And so the second time these Philistines come up, he again goes back and goes, okay, God, what do you want to do now? What do you want to do now? And he says, okay, you're going to beat him again, but this time I want you to circle around. I want you to do something else. And I want you to come in from this direction. And he says, don't go until the wind rustles through the trees and it sounds like marching. Not a little, but I mean like a, and you could just see the trees. Like this. He goes, when you see that, because I don't want there to be any confusion. When you see that, now I'm paraphrasing, so give me some latitude here. And he goes, when you see that, I don't want you to wait. Is it a wind? Is that God? Hey, what do you think? Hey, Abner, do you think is that a wind? Should we go now? No, when you feel the wind, I want you to immediately obey and charge. You know, this is the thing. And David does it. And this defeat, if you go through and you read between the lines, it is a booty whomping. He chases him from one end to the other, and he kills everybody. And it is just, I'm telling you, when you have the God who shakes the trees and tells you to go when I do this or that, and you obey, God shows up and does great things. And I'm sure many people, if they had this experience at that point, they would start a tree wind ministry. Oh, well, it worked for me. We need a tree wind ministry. That is not it at all. If God tells you, I don't want you to do anything, I want you to close your eyes and sit in silence. And that's what he says for you to do. Then you do that in obedience immediately and completely so that God can give you breakthrough. You do not fight in your own earthly wisdom and your own strength. You trust in the God of the breakthrough. When he gives you insight to obey, do it. And you will see God results, not man's results. And so I look at this and I say, okay, God, what is it that I need to learn from this whole story of David coming, and he's now king, but he is faced with this enemy. The first thing I say is, here's a habit. Here's a habit. When bad things start to show up, like when in the beginning of the story the Philistines come, where do you go for comfort? This is a habit. You know a lot of the things I love because I blab about my private life all the time. I love a couple things pretty consistently in addition to Petrea. I love a couple things pretty consistently. One, it's hot. Round. Thin. It's a cookie. Cookie. I'm telling you. And when they get an army of cookies together, there is nothing I can't handle. It's amazing. Well, if I eat a lot of them, then there's a lot that I can't handle. But it's like, those cookies, I don't know what it is. It's, you know, I can go through a long day, and it's like, oh, I feel tired. And if one of my kids are making cookies from scratch, it's like, ah, I have a revival. It's amazing. And then the other thing that I love is water, but with coffee beans in it, otherwise known as coffee. I love it, those two things. And, you know, the goofy thing is there are many things in our lives that we can run to for comfort. If you have a distressful day, where do you go for that comfort?
Is it country music? I've never been comforted by country music. So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like, never been comforted by country, but some people do, you know?
Is it friends? Is it entertainment? Is it the bay? Well, yeah, it is for me sometimes. I mean, is it alone time? What is it? And whatever it is, can you also ask yourself, is God in that list of things I run to whenever I really need comfort? If he's in that list, then ask yourself, in what order of priority? If I were to have any kind of a bad day, just a minor bad day, do I hold him off as, well, this isn't a big a deal for God. I'll wait till it gets really bad. This is just a cookie problem. What if I told you today that God even cares about your cookie problems? What you used to think a cookie could take over and deal, you know, you're going to need a new cookie tomorrow. But what if you ran to God instead of the cookie, Pastor Ben? You know, would God take care of that and give you peace? I know he would. That is the stronghold. When we build a habit of running to the Lord when we have issues or difficulties, if that's a habit, that is a customary thing, and people in our lives go, oh yeah, if he gets bad news, even if he doesn't get bad news, and he just feels, you know, a tummy ache, where's he go? He goes straight to the Lord. All time. But that's sadly not many of our habits, is it? So the challenge for us today is let's start a new habit of running to the Lord. It doesn't have to be long either. It doesn't have to be as long as my grandpa's prayers over meals. Whew, those things were. He even gave altar calls at the end of them sometimes. But that's a habit, you know. You got to go to the Lord just like David did at the very beginning of this. Went to the stronghold. Now, there's not just that habit. I could spend times and talk about the habits of praise or the habits of who he was around, the fellowship or that, or other habits like obedience. But I want to focus on two very particular ones in closing. Look at this. The first is a habit of godliness. I don't talk about this often, but if you were to say, why in the world did David know the God of breakthrough? As imperfect as he was, well, what we could do is we could turn to some of the Psalms and you would see what David says about the God of the breakthrough and how he relates to him. You know, it's kind of interesting, but, you know, if you look at, I like Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is a beautiful form of Hebrew poetry. It's one of the best examples of Hebrew poetry in the book of Psalms. But what you see here is some beautiful imagery, and it kind of cracks me up because I don't know if we get this. If Psalms 18, verse 20, listen to these words. Tell me if it sounds proud or arrogant. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. And to clean hands. How many of you would feel comfortable saying a sentence like this? How many of us would stand in a New Testament church? Let me put it in a way that really stresses us out. In a grace-filled New Testament church, who could stand with confidence and declare the word of God right here, Psalms 18, the Lord rewarded me for my righteousness. He gave me what I deserved because of my clean hands. Did anybody feel a little uncomfortable right now? I looked in the mirror this morning and I saw imperfection. I don't know if I could say that. David is by no means saying he is perfect. He's not even coming close to that. What he is saying is he's saying, I have a lifestyle of God is with me. And his grace is sufficient for me. He is not boasting at that time in his weaknesses. He's boasting in the justification that he is believing in God. So even though he is imperfect, he is claiming that perfection because it's in Christ. And then because of that, he is now free to act accordingly to his new nature. This is why God is one of these gods who says, I want to clean you up and justify you. You are set free right now That's your positional standing with God, clean, just as if you'd never sinned before. But then that doesn't stop there. Like David is declaring, he says, but I'm changed. Now I'm going to walk differently. And what that looks like in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is godliness. This is why David says, I, like in Psalm 18, there he goes on in verse 27, he goes, you are going to save humble people, but people who are proud, you're going to bring them down. Can we say that today? This is the way the God of the breakthrough works in people's lives. So the question boils down to, let me flip to a New Testament section of Scripture. We go to Romans, and in Romans chapter 12, in verse 9, it boils down to this. I want to know if you are building a habit that leads to breakthrough. And the habit I'm talking about is godliness, righteous living. This is holiness in action. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says, my Bible reads it like this, it says, behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Oh, Pastor Ben, you're going to be meddling. I am never reading in any of this, behave perfect, without flaw. What I am reading is, learn to have a habit of things like love without hypocrisy, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. How many have a habit of loving what is good and hating what is evil? Come on, none of this like all sin matters. None of this all sin matters crap. You can't do that. You've got to love what God loves and hate what God hates. So no rainbow flags at your house. Tear it down if you got one. Don't do that. Why? God loves the people, but he hates the destruction that it brings. The suicide, the depression, the hopelessness, the pit that people get stuck in over and over again. It's the same thing with addictions. In all areas, the gambler, the alcoholic, the pervert, the righteous hypocrite, the gossip, the liar, all of these things God hates. But it's so funny what we pick and choose to hate and not to hate and embrace or tolerate. So you've already heard me talk a little bit about that. But look at this behaving like Christian. These are the habits. I want you to not be lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit. I want you to be kindly affectionate to one another. I want you to, steadfast in prayer. I want you to be given to hospitality, even during lockdown. No, I'm teasing. I want you to make it a habit of blessing those who persecute you. Come on, how many have a habit of that?
Not many.
Bless those that curse you.
I love those. That's awesome.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. You know who's good at this? Debbie Pagel. Debbie Pagel's good at this one. I like this one. This is I teased her. I said, you can't be on the board because every single idea, even the bad ones that I have, you're like, this is great. I love it, Pastor Ben. This is great. And I'm like, I don't even think it's great, but you're celebrating it with me, you know? And if I have anything fun to share with her, I'm like, I want to share it with Debbie. Why? Because she does this Debbie thing where she's like, ah, that's awesome. That's great. And I'm like, who is like that? She is an expert at rejoicing with those who rejoice. Yep. And there are others, I'm going to shift so I don't embarrass her too much, but there are others then that also are experts at crying with those who are crying and going through hard times. I need to get better at that. Because sometimes I'm like, so?
You're like, bastard.
I'm like, don't call me now. Don't call me now. I mean, wait a couple days and we'll work it out. So you guys are laughing. You're like, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. I just did. I just said that. So you got to learn to make it a habit of crying with those that are crying and all that kind of stuff. There's so much there. Do your own homework on this, okay? Look at this and ask, how are you doing in building a habit of these things? And the second half of this part that I want to focus on is not just a habit of godliness. Well, let me say this before I shift gears. It's so funny. But how do I say this without getting me in trouble or are you guys in trouble? If you're not walking in a field of landmines, your chances of exploding your body are very slim. That's really what it is. And I've had people, Pastor, I want to live for Jesus. And then I go, okay, and I listen to them, and they're still living in a field of landmines. Old sins, old bents, old natures that they're really cut off from. They're a new creation, but they're still living around it. And that form of living is just littered with chances for falling again or for being really sucked into an old way of living, and you're entrapped in it, and it's just horrible. So then what do? Well, cut off all things. Avoid even the hint of that stuff. Make no provision for it. And it just go in another direction. So, I mean, man, this is important. What I mean is, for some in this room, you have struggles with addictions to pornography. Well, then by all means, let everyone in your life know every password to every digital device in your life. And make it a habit of everyone in your life looking at the same screen you're looking at. Make it a habit for everyone to know your viewing history and to talk to you about it. Why? You don't have the backbone to walk through that landmine anymore. But your heart doesn't want it, so leave it. And make no provision for it. Now, what about gossipers? Because sometimes we hit on the big ones, you know, and we let all the ones that are on the small side get free from it. If you struggle with gossip, if you struggle with this talking about things, well, then my goodness, don't join the prayer team. Please don't join the prayer team or the letter. But I bet you if you've got a Christianese version of, you know, this gossip stuff, you were one of the first to sign up to the prayer letter. It's like, oh, I want to know everybody's business because I'm going to pray about it, you know. And you are the first person to want to share a prayer concern about no one who's ever there with you. It's always about someone else.
This is so harsh. I know, but hey, this is true. You know, gossip, even when it's been whitewashed in Christianese language, divides close friends. It destroys churches. And we have had churches in America, we have more fractures and broken churches in America than I could ever possibly communicate in this message. And part of the reason is because we are littered with Christianese gossipers. Man, we got to shut our mouths. And you know, maybe we should just take that stuff and to the closet, the spiritual closet, shut the door so no one can hear what your mouth is about to say and tell God. He already knows it anyway. It's not gossip. Okay? And anyone else, do like what the Old Testament story is with Noah. His son saw him naked and they mocked him. They pointed out, but not all of them. Not all of them. He had a son who covered him. Yes. See, that's what we need to do. That's the righteous behavior. That's godly behavior. So we can't talk about people if they're not in the room. And that is a practice that brings breakthrough. Oh, this is good. Oh, man. I didn't tell you this, but one of the reasons why I felt we needed to talk about breakthrough is because I know we need breakthrough in our relationships. You know, marriages, maybe in relationships from a dad to a kid or from a kid to a dad. You know, how do these breakthroughs happen? Do we just pray about them? No. You must act. You must have a habit of doing the right things that God would prescribe. And so go back to that Romans 12 and just give yourself a little examination. See if you're doing that. I guarantee you, when you make it a habit, your rate of succeeding and being a breakthrough kind of a Christian will increase. You will see difficult things just crumble. Why? You are walking in a different habit. And you're giving God more freedom to use your hand to break through the enemy. But if you don't yield yourself to the habits that lead to breakthrough, you will be stuck. How many is hating being stuck? I hate being stuck. Well, then develop new habits to get you out of it. It's awesome. And okay, so the last point on this one then is
when you read this story out of 2 Samuel 5, it's like he keeps saying, ask God. He keeps saying, well, then I went to God. I inquired of God. I talked to God. I asked God. And you know, this was a habit of David. He would listen to the prophets. He would listen to God's voice. He would, in times of prayer and worship, he would be communicating with the Lord, and the Lord would talk to him. This guy put on an ephod, for goodness sake. He acted like a priest. This was uncommon. But it was prophetically the way God wants everyone in this room to live and act. You are a kingdom of priests unto the Lord. That means every single person has been picked by God to have a relationship with Him and not go through someone else. You go directly to God. This is why Hebrews says, come in with confidence, just like the high priest would, covered in the blood, and ask for help in your time of need. And this is what is missing in the God of the breakthrough kind of experience for many Christians. They don't believe they can ask. I can't tell you how many times, because it's too hard to count, how many times people feel so insecure about their ability to ask the God who spared nothing to save them. They're insecure to ask that God if He will help them in a particular issue or something. And when they do, it's like they hedge their bets and they talk about all these other, now if you want, or what about, well, you know, and you don't have to, but, you know, and it's almost like they qualify it with too many things, and then their prayer request dies. They're double-minded. They have two different ways of viewing it and thinking about it. And so my challenge is, I don't care if you were just saved today, you have the freedom to run right into God's presence no matter what time of day or whatever the situation is. And even if you don't know the words to say, oh, hubba bubba, or, you know, Luke's got, Darth Vader's kicking my, you know, and, you know, whatever it might be. You do this. Now, this is funny. I'm saying it in these ways to shake up some of our religious, you know, stuff. Pastor Ben, you are too, you don't talk. Now I'm not getting anything out of this message. Well, good. It's not for you then. You know, here's the challenge. Throw all the weight off that is holding you back and run in with confidence and ask that God who loves you so much in your time of need for help. He will listen to you. And if you are always running for assistance in prayer, knock it off this week. Now, I don't mean stop getting together and agreeing. That's not what I'm talking about here. That is an intercessory type of prayer that I'm not addressing in this moment. I can talk about it another time. I'm talking about you taking your God-ordained right as His son or daughter to come into His presence and say, Dad, I need this. Or Dad, I really want this. You have that right. And it's weird when you bring someone else as, well, I know you don't listen to me, but you'll listen to Pastor Ben. Or, well, maybe Pastor Ben, and he's weird, so maybe Pastor Ben and Michelle. And, well, okay, well, then those two are both weird, so let's bring in Trish. We'll get all three of them together, and now that we add Trish, a three-chord strand is, there you go, and now you'll listen. And he's like, nope, I really just wanted you. That's right. You follow me? If you get it, say, mm-hmm. Good. Now I can close with this. Wait, that was my closing. No. Here's what I love. I use this verse out of Luke chapter 21. And, you know, it's funny, but when I read Luke chapter 21, verse 36, it says, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to prevail. A New Testament concept that picks up the Old Testament breakthrough concept. He goes, I want you to be praying and alert at all times so that you can prevail, you can overcome. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually without ceasing. All of this says what I said about 2 weeks ago. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus Himself would often slip away to Mount Olivet and pray. A lot of times all through the night. And you know, I think more than ever before, my heart is aching for God's house to be a house of prayer, for God's people to be people of prayer, for us as individuals to take that calling to pray without ceasing, because without prayer, you have zero power. You have zero power. Whatever victory you do have is like just overflow of God's mercy and grace. It's just, oh, he's still not learning down there. I'm going to give Ben a little push. Okay. And then we think that's the best it gets. No, pray, pray, pray. And what happens is a beautiful phrase that comes from Isaiah. In Isaiah 28, this is a loose reference to the same valley where God did a miracle for David that we read about, where that same valley, the God of the breakthrough, Isaiah references it in verse 28, or in chapter 28, verse 21. It says, "For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim, and he will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task, and to work his work, his extraordinary work." I'm not going to get into the prophetic context of that, but it's a reference they knew about. They had sang the songs. They get the ideas. It is a God of breakthrough. There is nothing that can stand against him. And whenever we go and we pray and we cultivate a habit of prayer and intercession and seeking his face and all of that, you become a powerful giant in the enemy's eyes. You really do. In the natural, you may be old and decrepit, but in the spiritual, you've got huge muscles, and there is nothing that can stand against God of the breakthrough that's in you and working through you. And when I read that phrase where it's like, he can do his unusual task, what is that? Maybe that's Old Testament ease for miracle, something completely unexplainable, right? That's what God does to people who have a habit of prayer, of godliness. People who have this habit of going to him in the stronghold. Stand with me as we close. Go to him when the enemy rears its head. That's a habit. And maybe you need to do that today. Go to him and know with confidence that even though you're not perfect, you are submitting to God and you're walking in the fear of the Lord. This is godliness. This is having a reverence of God's ways and how he wants you to live. Practice that. Your chances of exploding yourself in the landmine-filled, field of sinful yuck is going to decrease, and you're going to walk with greater and greater victory. And cultivate a habit of prayer. And maybe this week, what we can see is in build-up for this weekend is I want to ask you to pray every single day. Doesn't have to be long, but I want you to pray every single day. And the challenge would be something like this. The very first thing you do in the morning and the very last thing you do at night, every single day. See if you can do it. Do it for 7 straight days and then refresh this commitment. And all you need to do is not really think too hard about it. Just get up before you do really anything else, initiate the conversation. Just say, "Good morning, Lord. I love you. I just want to say thank you for another day." See where it goes from there. Start talking. And then the very last thing that you do, it's just like when you were a little kid, if you were raised with Christian parents. Let's say our prayers before bedtime. Do it. I don't care if you're 60. Do it. Spend that time and cultivate it. Now, if that's normal for you right now, then maybe stretch yourself in some other way. Yeah, that's good. This week, when you pray, I want you to pray about one topic in particular, marriages. Because the enemy is rearing its ugly head in marriages. Good people are falling apart. I've had multiple calls, multiple interactions. People that have almost come to faith in Christ, their marriages are falling apart and they're running from even God now. Now their hearts are getting hardened. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, God, we need a miracle. I'm hearing more and more of young people who are totally disenchanted with the whole idea of marriage. Marriage sucks. I don't even want to do it because it's all bad. And we are so much to blame in the church because we have the same divorce rate as those in the world. Shame on us. We don't know the God of breakthrough. We need to cultivate godly living again. So husbands, read Ephesians. Read it like your life depends upon it. Women, read that Ephesians. There's so much in the Bible. But more, even before that, just start praying right now that God would show up in a mighty way. Let's go to Him in the stronghold and start praying. And then evaluate our lives and see where we can change and conform to godliness. And then just make it a habit every day and pray. Now, here's what I expect. This Saturday at this Everything About Marriage weekend thing, I believe that we have been set up by God to see breakthrough in people's relationships. I am praying, my heart inside, I'm just crying out right now. If you know somebody whose marriage is on the brink of falling apart, will you pray for them specifically by name this week? If you don't know anybody, just pray. You know of situations in general, don't you? Pray about it. So all that to just say, if you have something else that you need prayer, we're going to open up the altar and you can meet with the God of breakthrough today. You're in church, you are uncommon. So many people don't go to church. But Jesus had a habit. It says it in the New Testament, the gospel. All four gospels says it. It was His custom, His habit to go to church every weekend. If that was Jesus in the Old Testament form, still had a zeal for God's house, don't you ever say to anyone, it's not important to go to church. Because Jesus would laugh at you and say, that's not what, that I don't say that. He had a zeal for God's house. He went every weekend, multiple times. So you have a habit already of coming to church. So man, let's continue these habits and pray and see the God of breakthrough. I'm going to dismiss you as we pray in closing. Heavenly Father, I say thank you so much for the reality of your word this morning, that when we conform to godliness, when we allow your Holy Spirit to just shape our hearts to be more like you and to birth in us more of your likeness, it's like you expand the breakthrough in our lives and you deliver us from more and you deliver other people from more things. It's like we're more and more useful in your house for breakthrough. So God, in this room, I just declare everyone in this room is set apart for you, Lord Jesus. This week is your week. This is a week of prayer. This is a week of conforming to your likeness. This is a week of running to our stronghold in you so that we would see breakthrough in marriages. We would see breakthrough in relationships. Children whose hearts have been broken because of division in the home are healed in Jesus' name. There's restoration in Jesus' name. Lord, let there be a wave of healing in all of this city where marriages everywhere are just, they're just changing overnight. Lord, let there be a miracle. And God, claim the hearts of young people so that they realize that this covenant, this design is from you. It is not from us. You did not intend us to live alone, but you put people together to accomplish your work in this world and to become more like you. Lord, help young people to see that this is a covenant between us and you. Change hearts in young people, Lord. In your name we pray all of this. Amen. All right, well, God, blessings on you. Go and talk to someone and, I don't know, eat donuts, have a good day, and if you need some prayer, come on down.